I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. We hear a lot about finite resources, oil, gas, even water. But what about sand? It turns out, in parts of the world, sand is also in trouble, and so are the ecosystems and the people living near sand. It's all because of a global building boom that's creating an unprecedented demand for sand. Sand is used to make concrete and to create new land where land didn't previously exist. From our Livable Planet desk, Tess Vigeland reports from Cambodia and Singapore.
Deep in rural Cambodia, Chan Vana pushes his long-tailed boat through the calm waters of the Kokong Estuary. Until about 10 years ago, Vana and his family made a living fishing here. Then one day, giant machines showed up at their small inlet and started dredging sand from the bottom of the river. They never talked with our community, Vana says. They came to dredge and the land fell down and the water became deep. The land fell down because the dredging caused the riverbanks to wash away. Vana motors toward his former fishing ground in a small lake. There are no fish anymore, he tells me, because without any shallow water, the fish have nowhere to spawn. We stop at an eroded bank and crawl up to meet some of his neighbors. Small, gaunt children dance to a boombox while the adults snack on longan fruit. They, too, have lost their livelihoods. One of the men, Salih, points to the other side of the river. The water used to be maybe half a meter deep, he says, so we could cross over. Now it's 10 meters deep. What was once a creek is now a wide river. Sa says they've lost many trees that protected the land, and even the crocodiles left. It's a scene that's been repeated throughout coastal Cambodia for a decade, and not just here, but in Vietnam, Indonesia, Myanmar, Malaysia, and beyond, all part of a global sand grab that has made it the second most widely consumed natural resource in the world, behind water.
Cities are basically built out of sand.
Vince Beiser is the author of the forthcoming book, The World in a Grain, the story of sand and how it transformed civilization.
Every concrete building that you see, every mile of asphalt road between those buildings, all the windows in all those buildings, it's all made from sand.
Quartz sand in particular, the kind used in concrete construction worldwide, usually found on beaches and in rivers. And there's an unprecedented demand for it. The skylines of Phnom Penh and Ho Chi Minh City are unrecognizable from just a few years ago. Same with newly urban areas in India and throughout Africa, not to mention the insta-cities popping up all over China. It's the same urbanization that happened in the West over the course of a century, says Beiser. But now it's happening way too fast for nature to keep up, and in places where there isn't a lot of government oversight.
There are fewer regulations to protect the environment, and in a lot of places, there just isn't as much enforcement because there's a lot of corruption. And in some places, like India in particular, the business has become so lucrative that a lot of the business is actually controlled by what they call sand mafias.
Here in Southeast Asia, much of the finger-pointing about sand is directed at Singapore. But it's not just about new buildings. The island city-state itself has expanded by 20% over the last half century, purely through sand-based land reclamation.
Singapore didn't have its own resources of sand. They had to take it from their neighbors.
Alex Davidson is with Mother Nature Cambodia, an activist group that started protesting sand exports a few years ago.
And of course, they took it from places like Hong Kong, where there's corruption, local communities can be repressed.
Under pressure from groups like Mother Nature, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Indonesia have recently banned sand exports to Singapore. For its part, the Singaporean government says all of its sand imports from around Southeast Asia have been legal. But it doesn't seem eager to talk about the issue. The Ministry of National Development declined requests for an interview, but it knows it has a sand problem.
It's all becoming an embarrassment to Singapore that we're importing so much sand at the expense of, you know, the livelihood of our neighbors.
Lim Soon Heng is a Singaporean engineer. He's looking out across the city's Marina Bay, an area that not long ago did not exist.
Where we are now is all reclaimed land.
Right. The famous Marina Bay Sands.
Right, yes.
Even after all its recent growth, Singapore's government estimates it will need to add another 22 square miles to its current borders to accommodate population growth. Lim runs a company that is trying to convince Singaporeans to do some of that expansion with floating pontoons. The technology uses a lot less sand than traditional land reclamation. It's already being used in massive port projects in the U.S. and Europe, and even in one project here. But it's been a tough sell.
So now we've moved down the bay a little bit, and we're looking at a floating structure right here in Singapore. And this is used for sporting events and...
Yeah, entertainment, for national events.
So you have proposed doing this all over the country. And what has the reception been?
The reception is not very overwhelming because they don't understand. They say it's not safe. It will wobble around. But you can see the structure there. It's not wobbling.
The jury is still out on pontoon building here. But other less sand-intensive approaches to expanding Singapore might catch on. Meanwhile, scientists are working on new kinds of building materials for all those new structures. Some would use less sand than concrete. Others would use different kinds of sand that are less environmentally sensitive. Because it's not like cities are going to stop building. Vince Beiser says the real question is how to do it sustainably, instead of turning sand into a new sort of conflict mineral.
Quartz sand is literally the most abundant thing on the planet. We have more of it than we have anything else. And if we're running out of that, which we are, then we're really in trouble.
Because just like when it speeds through an hourglass, sand itself may be running out of time. For The World, Tess Vigeland, Singapore.